produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
The Bible, and through the books of Moses, we are down to the book of Numbers. And we're drawing down to the end of the book of Numbers. So make ready, Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. And as you can see on the screen, that is within the section of the journey from Kadesh Barnea to Moab. We went through the incidents on the way to Moab, the incident with the prophet Balaam or Balaam. And then we went through a new numbering of the people of Israel, a new census, and that was 26 and 27. So now we're starting the last subsection of the book of Numbers, which is the new instructing of Israel. So after all that has happened, they are going to receive new instructions. Now remember, Joshua has been named as the new leader to take over for Moses. All the things that has happened before now, what always happens? Every time they fall, every time something drastic happens, every time sin is committed, you know what has to happen then. You have to have offerings, you have to have sacrifices, you have to remember Balak and Balaam and the idolatry of Israel. Remember that in the last session. So after all of those things happen, you know how the cycle goes. The cycle is now they have to give offerings and sacrifices. So God is preparing them to how he wants them to act and conduct themselves inside of the promised land. So he's trying to clean everything up and fix everything as they prepare to cross over the border and to go into the promised land. Okay? It's almost like your parents tell the children before they walk into the relative's house, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, this is how you act, this is how you don't act. You know, I know it's on a smaller scale, I know, but that's what's going on here. Father, Daddy, the Most High is telling his children exactly how he wants them to act, what he wants them to do and not do, okay? So chapter 28 starts off with daily offerings because all of this sin has been committed. People have lost their lives. The children of Israel, this group, have lost their lives because of their idolatry and disobedience. So now they have to be taught again, or the offerings and sacrifices are restated, okay? And for everyone that is joining on now, I thank you guys for joining on, especially those that come on every Thursday. Those of you guys that are viewing by YouTube, please consider hitting the subscribe button, the like or share, tell somebody about the YouTube channel so that YouTube can start pushing the channel to more people so that more people can receive the word of God. You ever wanted to know what you can do to push out the word of God to the nations? Share this channel with everyone, okay? Back to Basics Bible Study. The channel is Corey Evans Sr. All right? Okay, chapter 28. It starts off by saying the Lord spoke to Moses, okay? So that tells us right now, what do I always say? Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to, okay? So he's still speaking to Moses. Joshua has been named. but he's still speaking to Moses. Why? Because Moses failed or committed sin against God, or was disobedient against God when he struck the rock not only once but twice. Instead of speaking to the rock, he showed anger against the people, and he struck the rock twice to bring forth the water, which showed the people, or gave the people, an example of the man committing the act, instead of him saying to the rock like God told him to. Then if he would have spoke to the rock in the name of the Father, then they would have known God did it, and God did it alone. So that was a great misstep for Moses. And because of that, Moses would not be allowed to cross over into the promised land. Okay, Joshua will lead the people. So now the Lord spoke to Moses. I'm trying to make sure everybody's caught up, okay? Because now it's the part that I always get the text and say, oh, we have to go through the boring part of more offerings and more sacrifices. Well, if they would stop all this sinning and rebellion, they wouldn't have to receive these instructions over and over again. So verse 2, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food for my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. As I always tell people new to reading the Bible, always pay attention to when things are capitalized. Then that's kind of a sneaky way of seeing that God is speaking. If it's a big G, you know it's a Most High God. If it's saying me, my, him, I mean me, my, and things like that, if it's capitalized, then you know that it's referring to God is speaking. Okay? And you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire. So we've already went through all of the offerings and in previous sessions over and over again. So let's just breeze through this, guys. It's things that you already understand, I know. But he's re-instructing them. So offerings made by fire. So you know what that is. That's burnt offerings, which you shall offer to the Lord. And he specifies what he wants. Okay? Verse 3, two male lambs. You know it has to be without blemish if it's an offering, okay? What is this an example of? The without blemish, without sin sacrifice of Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary, okay? They have to make all these sacrifices because the Messiah is not on the scene yet, okay? The Messiah comes in the New Testament. So they have to do all of these sacrifices. Because Christ Jesus, when he gave his sacrifice, his perfect life, his life, his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, when that happened, then all of these sacrifices don't have to be performed again, okay? He covered our sins once and for all. So two male lambs of the first year as a burnt offering. Verse 4, one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other you shall offer in the evening. And I'm going through this so you can understand the seriousness of the commands of God, how detailed it is to exactly what he wants, okay? One in the morning, one in the evening, one-tenth of an ephah. We went through the measurement system, a fine flour as a grain, mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil, okay? Sounds familiar, okay? I tried to double check because it did jump out to me, the burnt offering sounded a little different. And I will go into that in another session, but I think that I was trying to find something sounds a little different to me, and I'll bring that up in a little while, okay? Verse 6, it is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire, okay? It is a drink offering when it speaks of the hen for each lamb. That's a drink offering. So you have a burnt offering, a grain offering. You have a drink offering. All of those things in that first section. The other lamb, verse 8, you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering. And its drink offering, you shall offer it, offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Okay, so it's going through the offerings that God wanted. Now, I put a special note on there. The offerings had to be mentioned again. Okay, for those of you guys that have the notes in front of you. I'm sorry, I was trying to admit someone. Come on in, guys. The offering had to be mentioned again, not only on account of their importance, because they were very important, because this is how they did away or atone for their sins. Okay, not only the account, it was very important and the frequent neglect of them, but because a new generation has sprung up since their first institution, and because the Israelites were about to be settled in the land where those ordinances were to be observed. Okay, so not only did it have to be restated because it was important and they were shown to neglect it, second reason, but some of these people were hearing it for the first time. So when you ask yourself, why do we have to do this over and over again? Because a lot of people perished in the wilderness. So before they go to the promised land, this had to be conducted. You know, it's almost like the phrase, when you know better, you do better. Those are the ones that knew about the offerings, it was held against them. But you can't hold something against someone that's never been told. So for the new generation, they had to be instructed before they went into the promised land. You follow me? Okay, that's simple. Okay, so now the next section starts verse 9 is the Sabbath offerings. So if you just scan over 28, and hopefully you have your study Bible, your first section in 28 is daily offerings, then Sabbath offerings, then monthly offerings, then offerings at the Passover, and offerings at the Feast of Weeks. Okay? So in 28, you got daily offerings, things that they were offering every day. Then specifically on the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day, the seventh day cycle, then the monthly offerings, which they did at the beginning of the month, then on the special day of the Passover, okay, then the offering of the Feast of Weeks during that festival. So chapter 28 deals with those separate offerings. So what I want to just make sure to mention is think about how many offerings were overlapping each other, okay? That's what I want you to get. The daily offerings did not change. Okay, but then you had Sabbath on that day, monthly offerings, and Passover, Feast of Weeks, and it goes on because 29 starts different offerings. So there was a lot of times when the offerings overlapped each other. So I hate to say it, but animals didn't stand a chance. You got close to 3 million people at this point, okay? If not more. Well, really more, because they really counted the men. So, I mean, think about how many people this was. Okay? So they had plenty of animals. So moving right along. Sabbath offerings, verse 9 and 10, okay? It says, on the Sabbath day, 2 lambs in their first year without blemish and 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour. So we got the lambs, we got the fine flour, the grain offering mixed with oil, and you have a drink offering. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, but get this, besides the regular burnt offering with this drink offering. Okay? You follow me? So multiple things were going on at the same time. Okay, monthly offerings. Now, look at how this is worded. At the beginnings of your month, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord. At the beginnings, to start off the month. Okay, 2 young bulls. So, okay, now it's 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their first year without blemish. Okay, and it goes on very specifically in 12, 13, and 14, exactly the measurements of all the grain and the drink and everything, okay? Verse 14 says, this is a burnt offering for each month throughout the month of the year. So they had to continue this. They had the daily offerings, the Sabbath offerings, and they also had to designate the beginning of the month and to dedicate the beginning of the month. Now they had the monthly offerings. It's a lot of offerings. Also, verse 15, one kid of goats as a sin offering to the Lord should be offered besides the regular burnt offering and his drink offering. So now you put a sin offering on top of it. Okay? This is the only way, guys, they could be the nation or the nation forming of Israel. They had to do their sacrifices unto God, to dedicate themselves unto God, and to forgive their sins unto God. Okay? This was a lot of people. So this is their Messiah, their Savior, their Deliverer was not on the scene yet. Okay? So they had to do all of these offerings. Okay? Offerings at the Passover, verse 16. Now it says, on the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. We've went over all the festivals. We went over all the celebratory days. We've done this already, but let's just go over this quickly, okay? 17, and on the 15th day of this month is the feast. So on the 14th day of the first month is Passover. On the 15th day of this month is the feast, okay? Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days, okay? 7 days, unleavened bread. Why? Because it reminds them or makes them remember about the exiting of Exodus, of Egypt, okay? When they did not have time to leaven the bread, they had to take the unleavened bread, okay? So this is a reminder of what God has done for them, so they will not forget. And this is a long time after that, generations after that. So it's establishing this with the younger generation to make sure they know and carry on the tradition and honor God for what he has already done. Okay? All right. And like we still say now, if you want to trust and have faith in God of what he will do, just think of the things that he has already done in your life. Amen? Amen. And this is what they are doing. Verse 18, on the first day, you should have a holy convocation, okay? There's a lot of denominations still have holy convocation and still adhere to this. You should do no customary work, and you shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord. And it specifies what that is, two young bulls, a ram, seven lambs, that's a lot, in their first year. They have to be without blemish, okay? And now, when you see in these chapters where it says no customary work, okay, women were still allowed to run the household. Just to throw that out there for any ladies that's going to hear this at a later time or whatever, you were still allowed to do housework and to run the household. You know, you still had to take care of the household. Okay, I don't need to go through too much about that. Okay, just to give you a little extra information. Okay, let's skip to 22 because it gives you all your specifications. In 22, also one goat as a sin offering. You have to give a sin offering away as well to make atonement for you. Okay, this is at Passover. You should offer these besides the burnt offering of the morning, which is for a regular burnt offering. See how many offerings and sacrifices they had? In this manner, you should offer the food of the offering made by fire daily for the 7 days as a sweet aroma to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and a drink offering. And on the seventh day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. Okay? So let's skip down to 26. You see that's a different section. In your study Bible, it shall say, offerings at the Feast of Weeks. I keep saying in your study Bible because I'm trying to motivate you to make sure to have a study Bible, okay? You get a lot more information with your study Bible than you do a regular Bible, okay? So look at 26. Now we have Feast of Weeks. And for those of you guys that need to brush up on your festivals and feasts, go back to that previous session, okay? 26, verse 26. Also, So this is in addition to, on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your Feast of Weeks, you shall have a holy convocation as well. You should do no customary work, okay? Now, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, it gives you all the specifications as well. The burnt offerings, you know, the seven lambs in the first year, the grain offering, read over that. It gives all your specifications, 1/10 for each of the seven lambs, also a kid of goats to make an atonement for you. Verse 30, to make an atonement. They are atoning for their sins, okay? All of these offerings, daily offering, Sabbath offering, monthly offering, offerings of Passover, offerings of the Feast of Weeks, all of that is in chapter 28, okay? Chapter 28. Now, that gets us to chapter 29. And how does chapter 29 starts in the book of Numbers? With more offerings. With more offerings. So if you skim over 29, okay, you will see offerings at the Feast of Trumpets, offerings at the Day of Atonement, and offerings at the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, so we know where we're headed, right? Okay, so you have all the offerings in 28. Now you have 1, 2, 3 more mentions of offerings and feasts or festivals in chapter 29. So chapter 29 is just a continuation of chapter 28. Okay, so let's cover that in like manner. We already know of the offerings and all of that and festivals, so let's cover this in like manner. Let's just skim through this, okay? Offerings, chapter 29, offerings at the Feast of Trumpets. You guys come on in, I got you. It says, now, and in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation, the Feast of Trumpets. You should do no customary work, okay? For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. And we went through that whole festival in previous sessions, okay? And it says, you shall offer a burnt offering, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And when the offerings were burned, the scent that comes off of it, it is said that it will go as sweet smelling savior unto the nostrils of God. Just as we say our praise unto him, a praise offering, as we speak, is sweet aroma. Okay, we say that now. Okay, and you see, it gives all the specifications of the offering in 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Okay, it speaks of the seven lambs in his first year. It speaks of the grain offering in 3, with the flour offering, with 3/10 of an ephah for the bull and 2/10 for the ram. Read through all that. Also, one kid, verse 5, kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you. I'm going to say this over and over again. Christ Jesus wasn't on the scene, so this is how they atoned for their sins. Besides the burnt offering, now look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Let me make sure to mention this so that someone doesn't get it confused, okay? Besides the burnt offering with this grain offering, this, listen to this part, for the new moon. The regular burnt offering with this grain offering and their drink offerings according to their ordinance as a sweet aroma and offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, listen to me well. The pagan religions worshiped the moon, they worshiped the sun, they worshiped the stars. They worship any and everything but the Most High God, okay? Do not get this confused because it mentions the new moon or the new moon cycle. It mentions that. You can see that in your reading and in your research. This is not making offerings worshiping the moon, okay? They did not have clocks. And clocks on the wall like we do. and watches on their arms, okay? When you speak of the first moon or new moon, and when you speak of the rising of the sun, and when you, all of these things, that's how they kept time and seasons, people, okay? So they really, everything focused around their agricultural season, or the start of the, or the beginning or the ending of the agricultural year. So don't let that confuse you, like they were offering and worshiping the new moon like other, like pagan religions did, okay? This is not what they were doing, all right? I had to put a pin in it and stop right there so that doesn't make you think of the wrong thing, okay? I try to keep these sessions as simple as possible. I have small teenagers on this line. I have seniors on this line, okay? So I try to make it, I try to relate it to everyday life, and I try to make it as simple as possible, giving you theory and theology, but stating it in a way to where every age group can understand, okay? And I hope I'm doing a good enough, a well enough job of that, okay? I put you a note in there. The beginning of the agricultural year, on the first day, a ram's horn was sounded rather than a trumpet, which was a call to repentance. So when they heard the different sound, which I played trumpet for many a years, played music for many a years, you hear a totally different sound in a ram's horn as you do in a trumpet, okay? One is metal, one is a natural substance, an animal substance, a ram horn, okay? It sounded totally different. It was their call to repentance, okay? So look at verse 7. Here we go with a different offering. And, oh my God, let me make sure to mention, I didn't put a note in 28 where it went to Sabbath offerings. The thing to make sure to remember or to notice is that the Sabbath offering primarily doubled the daily offering. Okay, so you had the daily offering, but they were to give a double offering on the Sabbath day. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. Put that in your notes. The Sabbath offering was pretty much a double offering of the daily offering. Okay? All right. Verse 7, offerings on the Day of Atonement. Remember, I spent about 20 minutes talking about the Day of Atonement when we spoke of that in a previous session. Make sure to go back and refresh yourself if you need to, and the importance of the Day of Atonement. Okay, verse 7. On the 10th day of this seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. Okay? God, what was God doing? He wanted communion with his people. You know, have a holy convocation. Dedicate yourself. Do nothing on that day, but worship me and honor me and think of me and think of what I've done for you, okay? It says, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. What does that mean, Rev? You shall do no work, okay? Okay, you shall present in 8, 9, 10, 11. Gives you the specifications of what shall be offered and how, okay? Burnt offerings. One young bull, one ram, seven lambs in the first year without blemish, a grain offering, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull and 2/10 for a ram. Read all of that. It gives you the specifications for that. Verse 10, 1/10 for each seven lambs. Also, one kid of goats as a sin offering. Besides the sin offering for atonement, the regular burnt offering with his grain offering and drink offerings. God was not playing people about his offerings. The 10th day, look at your note I put in, is the holiest day of the year. Okay, the Day of Atonement is the holiest day of the year. It's self-denial. Fasting is what is meant by afflict your souls. You will see early on it's listed as affliction of the soul. Later it will say fasting. Okay, same thing. Remember, the scapegoat was led to the wilderness, symbolically carrying the sins of the people away from the camp. Remember, one of the goats was spared, the scapegoat. We still use that phrase today, and that symbolically was carrying the sins out of the camp. Okay? but Christ once and for all offered himself as an eternal sacrifice for us. Okay? That's what all this means. So remember, the Day of Atonement was the holiest day. God specifically did not play about that one. Okay? So now, look at offerings at the Feast of Tabernacles. Offerings at the Feast of Tabernacles. Those of you guys that are watching by YouTube or watching currently, and you see my notes up, excuse me for me always putting half of the screen up, but I have other things on my screen that you cannot see, okay? I have a participants list, and I can see when people sign on, and I can let them in, okay? But after a certain time, I take that down, and I can put a full screen of notes up, okay? So, verse 12, offerings at the Feast of Tabernacles. Here we are, another feast, okay? And this is the last feast in 20, offerings at the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the last feast in chapter 29, okay? Now, let's see what we have here, guys. On the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. You shall do no customary work, for you shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. You know, if we actually kept all of these feasts now, look at how many days we would be off work. I'm sorry, my brain just went to that. I'm sorry. But look how many days we would be off work, guys. You know, hey, it would be a blessing to us to keep these feasts customary for today and our day and time, okay? So look at 13. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, okay? That should be without a blemish. And look at all the things, okay? 13 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in their first year. My God, these lambs didn't stand a chance. They didn't stand a chance, okay? Okay. Now, and I'm going to tell you also, here's one thing to keep in mind. God provided their every need. So they were so blessed with flocks and animals that they had this many animals that they could sacrifice that had nothing to do with what they needed for their food to sustain them on a daily basis. Okay? Daily, weekly, monthly basis. God provided the sacrifice. Think about it that way, okay? And I don't think I mentioned that last time, but think about that. They had all these animals to sacrifice because God gave it to them from the beginning, okay? So verse 14 speaks of the grain offering. It goes over that again. 15 and 16, it speaks of the kid goat as a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering. 17, on the second day, present 12 young bulls, and it goes through that. 18, the grain offering, and 19, 20, 21, 22, it speaks of how and when and specifics of the offerings, okay? And you can go all the way down, because it says, now look at this. Look at how detailed this is, okay? 20 says on the third day, okay? 23 says on the fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs. Okay, 26 says on the fifth day, what you should present, 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs, okay? Verse 29 says on the sixth day, wow, 32 on the seventh day, what you should do. And look at, okay, that's the 7 day, that's the 7 day cycle. So look at 35, on the eighth day, you should have a sacred assembly. You should do no customary work. You should present a burnt offering made by fire. See, the 7 day cycle was over. Now, it said what to do on, you have a great assembly or a sacred assembly on the eighth day, okay? And then it gives you all those specifications. And it says in 39, these you shall present to the Lord at an appointed feast besides your vowed offerings and your freewill offerings as your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, as your drink offerings, and your peace offerings. All these things you shall do. So Moses told the children of Israel everything that has been told to him and commanded for him to say, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Okay? And I put a note in there that first day and eighth day were the Sabbath day. So remember the cycles. It kept going over and over, okay? So remember that. It was on the seventh day cycle. Israelites were instructed to erect huts or tents in future generations as a reminder of God's protection and provision in the wilderness. So I wanted to make sure to mention that so you can keep fresh. Feast of Tabernacles is listed other places, Feast of Tents, okay? Because they had to erect tents as their coverings as they were traveling, okay? And this is to remind them of that. And all of this is to remind them of everything that God did for them once they get into the promised land, okay? And God wants these things as a perpetual ordinance that they had to do all of the time. And, you know, if they were this busy giving all these sacrifices, they would have less time to fall into idolatry with other nations, okay? Think about it that way as well, okay? Now, look, we have matriculated all the way down to chapter 30, which is the law concerning vows. Okay, so this gives you a little break, okay? This gives you a little break with all these sacrifices, okay? So look at verse 30, the law concerning vows. Then Moses spoke to the head. So we're still talking about Moses, okay? And let me mention this. Sometimes I have to correct or add to something that I said in the previous session. Okay. In the previous session, God spoke to Moses, told Moses he would be gathered or died, gathered unto his people. Because of what he did, his punishment was he would not cross over into the promised land. Okay. And I made the statement, he will be gathered to his people or die immediately. Okay. I did not mean or did not mean to insinuate that right then in that verse, he would be gathered to his people and die. God was telling him what would happen or foretelling what would happen at an appointed time. And we will see in scripture specifically when he perishes, okay? When he perishes. So let me make sure to clean that up, okay? Moses is still living and still guiding the people. Okay. All right. Verse 1. Then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel. You know, just like we're going over these sacrifices, this is what God wants them to do, not what they're doing right now, but what he wants them to do when they get into the promised land. He's telling them ahead of time. Okay. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Look at this, guys. You have to be a man and a woman about your word, okay? I was told when I was coming up by my father, a man doesn't have his word, he doesn't have anything, okay? So you have to always stand on your word. Be about your word. Let your word stand for something, okay? If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, He shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? In one of my favorite movies, it is said, if a man makes a vow or swears an oath by some agreement, you cannot break that word. Or there's consequences and repercussions for your actions, okay? You have to stand on your word. Verse 3, women, you are not excluded. Or if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow and the agreement by which she has been bound herself, and the father holds his peace, okay? He hears the vow and says nothing. He holds his peace. He doesn't correct her and tell her she cannot do it. That's what that means. Then all her vows shall stand. The ladies are like, well, why is that? Because in your youth, you are covered by your father. Your father is responsible for the daughter, okay? So this is your covering. When you leave your father's house, you are married and joined into your husband. Then your husband is your covering, okay? That is and always have been the order of God. Our society, we try to do it differently, but hey, that has nothing to do with the order that God has established, okay? All right. If the father says nothing, then that vow stands, and every agreement which she has bound herself shall stand, okay? You are bound to that. But if her father overrules her on the day that he hears it, then none of her vows nor her agreements by which she has bound herself shall stand. And the Lord will release her because her father overruled her. Okay? You get it? I didn't give all these specifications for the men. You speak it, you are bound to it. Okay? But while you are under the covering of your father's house, if you speak it and he doesn't say anything, you're bound to it. If you speak it and he overrules it, you are released from it. Okay? Are we together? Verse 6. If indeed she takes a husband, okay? Now, most of my ladies always say, the ladies on the line, most of the ladies always say to me, you know, the scripture is so hard on the women, you know, but look at all these things that God is placing in the specifications for women to make sure that they're covered, okay? To make sure that they're covered. So, you know, this is one time that it works out for your benefit, okay? Verse 6, if indeed she takes a husband while bound by her vows or by a rash utterance from her lips by which she bound herself, okay? So this means that it stood because her father didn't correct it. So this is something she's bound by, okay? But it says, and her husband here, I'm sorry, let me take that back. This is not a previous vow. This is, if she takes a husband, well, it does say, I'm sorry, while bound in her vows, it's both. I'm human, guys. Give me a little grace. I'm human. I was speaking too fast, but it's both. If indeed she takes a husband, okay, she takes a husband, comma, while bound by her vows, so she takes a husband while bound, or by a rash utterance from her lips by which she bound herself. Okay, we got it? I was speaking too fast there. And her husband hears it, which is a continuation of, or by a rash utterance from her lips, she bound herself, and her husband hears it and makes no response to her on the day that he hears it, then her vow shall stand, okay? And her agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. Okay, so Reb, clean it up. If she takes a husband, while she's under a vow, she's already under a vow, she takes a husband, that vow stands, okay? Because her father did not correct it. That vow stands. If she makes a vow, utters a vow, her husband hears it, does not correct it or change it, that vow shall stand, and she is bound by it, okay? Did Reb clean it up right there? Okay, good. Good, good, good. I see y'all shaking your head. Good. Okay. Verse 8. But if her husband overrules her on the day that he hears it, so this has nothing to do with the vow she had coming into the marriage, okay? The one that she said and her father did not overrule. This is if he hears it on the day. You see how it keeps specifying on the day? On the day that he hears it, he shall make void her vow, which she took, and what she uttered with her lips. And the Lord will release her, okay? Verse 9. Also, any vow of a widow or a divorced woman by which she has bound herself shall stand against her. Okay? Shall stand against her. If you're widowed or divorced, it shall stand against you. 10. If she vowed in her husband's house or bound herself by an agreement with an oath, and her husband heard it and made no response to her and did not overrule it, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. Okay? Are we together? A vow is something very, 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 very important. Verse 12. But if her husband truly made them void on the day he heard it, then whatever proceeded from her lips concerning her vows or concerning the agreement binding her, it shall not stand. It was overruled by her husband. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will release her. Okay? Because, let's finish this. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict your soul, her husband may confirm it, or her husband may make it void. Okay? Her husband is her covering. Okay? Now, what should be happening? What was happening? The head of the household is the husband. The head of the young household was the father. The father is hearing from God or praying unto God for the household. If a vow was made and he heard it on that day and it did not sit well with his spirit, he had the authority to override. Okay? That's what is going on. All right? Which is still should be going on today. Husband should be to your wife. Look, that sounds good. I know this is something you want to do, but let's pray over it. Pray over it and then override it or support it. Okay? That's what should be happening now. Hear from God. Pray over it. Hear from God, then make a decision on it. Okay? Are we together? Verse 14. Now, if her husband makes no response, he confirms all her vows or all her agreements that bind her. He confirms them. Because he made no response on that day. It didn't even carry over to another day, guys. Vows were that serious. You were binded that day that was spoken if they were not overruled by the father or the husband, the men. If you were binded by that. Okay? 15. But if he does make them void after he has heard them, then he shall bear her guilt. Okay, if you don't override it, you're responsible with her as well. You're binded together as one with your wife. Okay, period. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, man and his wife, and between a father and his daughter in her youth in her father's house. You're responsible. Okay, I put a special note in. A mere secret thought of the mind was not enough to constitute a vow. It's not what we're saying. It had to be actually expressed in words, okay? And even though it was purely voluntary, no one told you you had to enter into a vow. And we went over vows before, okay? They are voluntary, okay? Yet, once the vow was made, the performance of it became an indispensable duty. You had to do it. You had to do it. It could not be neglected without the guilt of unfaithfulness to God. Because remember, we're not talking about person to person now. We're talking about a vow unto God. Let me make sure to say that. A vow unto the Lord, the Most High. He shall not break his word, meaning it will profane his word, okay? Though his meaning, lower H, you will profane or you will profane the promise that was made unto God, okay? You are unfaithful unto God. It shows unfaithfulness on your part if you make a vow to God and then you don't, uphold that vow, okay? Now, let me state this. Girl, now this is what I slid in on the back end, guys. It specifies girls when it's talk about in their youth. Girls only are specified, but if you do some research on it, when it was spoken of the girls, the little girls that were in their father's house, okay, but it was extended to minors of other sex because, you know, you will say, well, what about the little boys? You know, well, they were included also. Okay, it wasn't mentioned in scripture. I was just going to add that to the end, guys. But minors were, it was speaking of minors as well that was still living in their father's house, okay? It was, they resided under the parental roof. They were included as well, okay? So I just thought I'd add that in the end for you guys, okay? We have one more chapter, and we have a few minutes to do so. We have plenty of time. I'm going to close out this participants list so we can scroll up full screen, okay? And you will see verse 31 deals with the vengeance of the Midianites, vengeance of the Midianites. The next session is return from the war, starting verse 12. And the last section is divisions of the plunder, divisions of the plunder. So that's where we're going, okay? So we're able to go through that quickly. Vengeance of the Midianites. Verse 31, and the Lord said to Moses, take vengeance on the Midianites for the children of Israel, for the children of Israel. Take vengeance for the children. Afterwards, you shall be gathered to your people. Whoa, wait a minute. What is he saying? He's saying, go to war with the Midianites on behalf of the children of Israel. Who's speaking? The Lord, the Most High God. Who is he speaking to? Moses. Then, here we go, guys. Afterwards, you shall be gathered to your people. Then you shall die. Okay? So he's speaking again ahead of time, telling Moses when he's going to die. Okay? Now, and I won't get ahead of myself. Let's keep going. Verse 4. This is what I want you to do. I want you to arm yourself, and this is what I want you to do. 1,000, I want you to take 1,000 from each tribe. Of all the tribes of Israel, you shall send them to war. So 1,000 men from each tribe, okay? So there were recruited from the divisions of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. A lot of people, okay? Then Moses sent them to war, 1,000 from each tribe, with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. So the priests always accompanied them, that he did not fight, but he accompanied them. Verse 7, and they went to war against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. Okay? They killed, now, I just want to put a little special note in there. They killed all the males that they found. It is shown later in scripture that there were some that just were not there, and there was a remnant of some Midianites, one theologian said. Okay, I just want to add that in there just in case someone says that they didn't kill everybody. Well, the scripture says they killed all the males, so that's what I have to say. Some theologians believe that some Midianites were not there, like they were off hunting or off, on different journeys, and they were not killed. Okay, I just wanted to add that in there. Now, verse 8, they killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed. Okay, the five kings of Midian and Balaam, you remember him? The son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. You remember? Of the Balak and Balaam. Okay, Balaam was killed. And the children of Israel took the women of Midian captive, with their little ones, and took as spoil all their cattle. So now we have more cattle, all their flock, more flock, and all their goods. Now we have more wealth. They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their forts. And they took all the spoil and the booty of man and beast. Booty is belongings. Okay, let me just say that. Okay, belongings. Okay. Note, remember back in chapter 25, 16 and 17. Then the Lord, we went over this already. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, harass the Midianites and attack them. He was saying this ahead of time. For they harass you with their schemes by which they seduced you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Kasbah, the daughter of the leader of Midian, their sister who was killed in the day of the plague because of Peor. Remember that? When they convinced them to go into idolatry? God spoke it then in 25. They're about to be dealt with now. This, in fact, was a religious war undertaken by the express command of God against idolaters who had seduced the Israelites with their abominations. You remember that? Spoken of in 25, now it's about to be carried out. Okay? Now look at verse 12. That's a different section, returned from the war. This is a return from the war. When they brought the captives, the booty, the spoil, to Moses, to Eleazar, the priest, and to the congregation of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab, by the Jordan, across from Jericho, okay? Moses, Eleazar, the priest, and all of these other congregation went to meet them. Now look at 14. But Moses was angry, okay? Why was he angry? They went to war, just like he said, okay? He was angry with the captains. Look at 15. Have you kept all the women alive? He asked a question. 16, look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass or idolatry against the Lord. Harlotry, you remember that? Harlotry, it said in the previous session. These are the women that cause us to fail or to fall in the eyes of God, and you kept them alive? And there was a plague among the congregation? Do you remember all the people that died? All of the people of Israel that were punished? So 17, so now therefore, kill every man among the little ones and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. Kill them. This is how serious it was. They were being punished by what they did to the children of Israel. No one told them to keep the women alive. The women were a major part in that sin, okay? They went to war against that nation. They were supposed to kill everybody. It says, but 18, but keep alive for yourself all the young girls who have not known a man intimately. Okay, don't punish the ones that were still virgins and had no, that means that they were not participating in this pagan sexual worshiping, okay? You follow me? So don't punish the innocent. So that's what they said, okay? They did not participate, but we don't know that, okay, if they were not virgins, they could have participated, so they must die. 19, and as for you, remain outside the camp 7 days. Why? We went over all that about if you're around a dead body or a corpse, remember, then you are unclean and cannot come into the camp. We went over that before, right? That's why I love these Bible studies. We're building upon each one. It builds. That's why I don't believe in studies that you pick one scripture out of in the middle of the book and expect people to understand where that comes from. You know, no. You need the context of it, okay? So anyway, moving right along. So it says, if whoever has killed any person and whoever has touched any slain, any corpse or anything, purify yourselves and your captives on the third day and on the seventh day. Remember, we went through all of that. Purify your garments as well, okay? 21, the Eleazar the prince said to the men of war, the priest said to the men of war who had gone into the battle, this is your ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Now, it speaks of not only the bodies and their clothing, it says what they took, the plunder, okay? The booty, what they brought with them, what they seized, the wealth that they seized. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead. Okay, everything that can endure fire, you should put it through fire to purify it. That's how you clean it. But all that cannot endure fire, you should put it through water. The water purification. And we went over that, remember? 24, and you shall wash your clothes on the seventh day and be clean. And afterwards you may come into the camp. You cannot defile the camp, okay? So before we move on to verse 25, I gave you some notes. No order had been given for the slaughter of women, okay? And in ancient war, they were commonly reserved for slaves. So why did they spare the women? Because it was a common practice to spare the women. And they were not given an order to slaughter the women. So common practice says, kill the men, save the women. See, women, how y'all are provided for? Y'all are looked out for? But this time, the women were voluntarily participants in this sexual sin. So they had to perish. They had to be punished as well. So by their conduct, however, the Midianite women had forfeited all claims to a mild or merciful treatment. God was always merciful to the women. And made their slaughter necessary without any special order. So they didn't have to receive the order. It should have been understood. But because they went on past practice, then the command had to be given to kill all the women who were not virgins. Okay? But why kill every man among the little ones? This was because, if you read it correctly, when they went back, it said to kill all the little ones, the males, the little ones. It was designed to be a war of extermination of the people of that nation. Okay? So the young men will grow up to be older men, and they would have babies, and they would continue on the nation of the Midianites. Okay? So this was extermination. So some theologians believe that it was literal, that the nation was exterminated, and some believe that there was a few that were not in the camp. Okay, so you can do that research. It doesn't matter in this text right now what we're dealing with, okay? But you can look that up for yourself. Though the Israelites had taken the field in obedience to the command of God, they had become defiled by the contact with the dead. Okay, so when going to war was the command, they did that correctly, and they killed correctly, and this is war, okay? So when they came into contact with dead bodies, they had to go through the cleaning process. A process of purification was to be undergone as the law required, okay? Now, the section, division of plunder, the plunder, what they received, this is the last section of 31, and then we'll be finished, okay? The last section of 31, it will be finished. It says, count up the plunder that was taken of man and beast, you and Eleazar the priest and the chief fathers of the congregation. All this is doing, guys, is splitting up between the tribes what was received, okay? And divide the plunder into two parts. Okay, well, let's see what this two parts is, okay? Between those who took part in the war, who went out to battle, and between the second, with all the congregation, okay? So two parts, those who went to war and those who did not, okay? Everybody's gonna be blessed. And levy a tribute for the Lord on the men of war who went out to battle, a tribute unto God. One of every 500 of persons, the cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep, take it from their half. This is a tribute to God. And what is this? This is just a tithe. Okay, so take it like that. This is just a tithe. They receive plunder. They receive wealth tied back into God. Take it from their half and give it to Eleazar the priest as a heave offering unto the Lord. Okay? And from the children's of Israel half, you shall take one of every 50. Okay. One of every 50 drawn from the persons, the cattle, the donkey, the sheep, the livestock, and give to the Levites who kept charge of the tabernacle unto the Lord. So both sections received, both sections were to tie back. Okay. Verse 32. The booty remaining from the plunder which the men of war had taken, and it gives you all of these specifications: 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, 32,000 persons in all. You see that? So, who had not known a man intimately. So, look how many women and people who were saved, okay? All right? So, well, women who were saved, what this gives specifically. So, read all of this. It gives the specific numbers. 41. So, Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering to Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses, okay? And 42. And from the children of Israel's half. So, all those numbers was the first section. Now, and from the children of Israel's half, which Moses separated from the men who fought, verse 43, now half belonging to the congregation was 337,000 of 500 sheep. That's a lot. 36,000 cattle and 30,500 donkeys. And it gives all of these specifications. From the children of Israel's half, Moses took one of every 50 drawn from a man and beast and gave it to the Levites. That was their offering. Verse 48. Then the officers who were over thousands of armies, the captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, came to Moses. Okay. The leaders came and said to Moses, your servants have taken account of the men of war who were under your command, and not a man of us is missing. They went to war, guys. None of the leaders were killed. Everyone that left and went to war came back. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. None was lost. So look at 50. Therefore, I tell you guys, every time you see therefore, look at why, look at what therefore is there for. I say that in my preaching all the time. Okay. We have brought an offering for the Lord. Well, what is therefore there for? Because what did it say previously? We went to war and no one was killed. Okay, so now we have brought an offering for the Lord. Okay, so that's why there is four. What every man found of ornaments of gold and armlets and bracelets and signet rings and earrings and necklaces, we want to give to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord. Oh my God. They're learning their lesson. We gave the tithe. But because you spared all of us and we returned home to our families, we want to give an additional offering unto Lord, unto the Lord, the Most High God, for keeping us and protecting us and bringing us home safely. Amen, somebody. 51. So Moses and Eleazar, the priests, received the gold from them and did all of those things, everything that they brought. 53. The men of war had taken spoil, every man for himself. And Moses and Eleazar, the priests, received the gold from the captains and brought into the tabernacle of meeting as a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? Out of their own free will, let me bless God for bringing me home safely, even though I've already gave my offering. Amen. Amen, somebody. That concludes session 39. I've had fun with this one. This is Numbers chapter 28 through 31. Please, please start reading at 32 for next session and try to read on 4 to 5 chapters, because we will cover 4 to 5 chapters on next time. Amen? Amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. As I always say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for coming on to our weekly virtual Bible study.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, text 1-888-201-5313.